All right. Hello and welcome, everybody. We are at the stadium. Josh Calloway, Brody Law, Sooners Illustrated, 24/7 Sports with our very first live instant reaction. The season has begun. Oklahoma, big winners on Friday night, 51-0 over UTEP.
Bubba Wallace here from 23/11 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bobapedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bobapedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Feels good. Feels good to get the season started. Feels good to have the first game under our belts. Brody will dive into it. Obviously, some instant reactions, some initial, you know, takes. We'll have the podcast on Monday. We'll pull it apart further, but get out some immediate thoughts and some immediate takes of the season opener. Just good to see him get out there. They got the shutout. We'll break it down defensively. Certainly could have still been better, but a good start to the year. Felt like pretty clean. We'll obviously pull it apart. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it, but a nice, you know, kind of just business-like 51-0. It was over quickly. You know, middle of the first quarter, felt like, all right, they're doing what they need to do. They're going to win this thing easily. But a good start to the season, it felt like, for Oklahoma, 51-0 over UTEP.
Absolutely. You know, good to be back out here, getting the season rolling. That just seemed like a workman-like game. 51-0, the shutout. UTEP had a couple chances to not have it be a shutout. If they had a competent kicker, they're having at least 6 points on the night. especially the first missed field goal, man. It seemed like a chip shot field goal, and they just missed it. So feel like Venables said it felt like a 41-40 game. So there's probably some stuff. There's definitely some stuff to clean up, but you'll take 51-0 any day of the week against a team like UTEP.
100%. You know, I mean, the game was never remotely in doubt, and Oklahoma was a huge favorite, obviously 41.5, which they covered comfortably, and they got the shutout. Like you said, did they get help by UTEP maybe needing to find a new kicker? Yes, they certainly did, but you take it at the end of the day, 51-0. All right, let's dive into some of the specifics. Let's start, I think, on offense. I think that's obviously where a lot of the attention and the excitement was going in, or curiosity, I should say, maybe better, going in, was what this offense was going to look like. Second year for Ben Arbuckle, would they be able to run the football better? Pretty good. It was pretty good. It was you know, all right in some ways. Lloyd Avant was, without question, the featured back in this game. Let's see. He goes, I got the stats here, 15 carries, 79 yards. That's over 5 yards a carry. Yep. Ben McCreary had some nice moments there and kind of, you know, mop up, you know, garbage time, for lack of a better way to put that. Xavier Robinson, 7 carries for 31 yards. Jonathan Hatton, 3 carries for 22 yards. As a team, they ran for about 4.5 yards per carry. They ran the ball kind of. I mean, it was, yeah. I don't think it was anything that would blow you away to the point where you're thinking like, whoa, they just ran down their throats all night. But they were pretty consistently 5, 6, 7 yard mm-hmm. chunks. I thought it was, again, it wasn't anything that's going to blow you away, but I thought it was at least encouraging enough that you feel like, okay, good start, right? I mean, I think that's a fair way to put it.
No, I thought, yeah, Lloyd Avant, a lot of it in the first half, it was a lot of, you know, solid 8, 9 yard runs. He was impressive in the first half. I thought it was a lot of Lloyd Avant. I mean, we got a hefty dose of Lloyd Avant with the 15 carries, and the next closest was Xavier Robinson with 7. So really was a little surprised by how much Lloyd Avant we saw. And I thought he really answered the call. He was pretty solid. Nothing flashy, but there were a lot of good moments. Had the first touchdown of the season. So I didn't think it was anything crazy with the running back room, but I thought it was noteworthy just how much of Lloyd Avant we saw. And then Xavier Robinson, he had some solid moments. Jonathan Hatton didn't get a ton of carries, but we'll see what that looks like moving forward. The one qualm was probably the Andy Bass fumble late in the fourth quarter, but outside of that, it, you know, everything seems sound from the run game, and I think it was encouraging what Lloyd Avant in particular was able to do in that first half.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Not that Lloyd Avant was the guy. I mean, that was, we thought that the whole time. Dylan McCullough told us at the media day that he was going to be the guy, and that didn't change over the course of fall camp. And I thought he was pretty good for the most part, but how little Xavier Robinson and Jonathan Hatton. I mean, we talked about during the week, Hatton was a little bit in and out. We weren't even sure if he was going to play in this game. He did, and he had some nice moments. He only had three carries, but he got 21 yards.
The one carry down the sideline was a nice play.
Yeah. I just kind of was hoping for a little more, just in terms of just seeing him more. Not, I mean, I thought the three carries he got, he flashed.
Yeah.
His very first touch, he trucked over a guy, and you're like, oh, this is what it looks like. But, you know, again, encouraging. I'm not certainly feeling like it didn't go to plan by any means. I just, you know, I don't know. I thought we might see a little more of X-Rob and Jonathan Hatton, but Lloyd Avant, I thought, certainly took advantage and made the most of what he got.
Yeah, 15 carries for Avant, 7 for Robinson, 3 for Hatton, and three for John Mateer. I'm very interested to see what the split of rushing attempts looks like next week up in Ann Arbor, because I don't think it will be, I mean, maybe it will be, but you would think you would see more Xavier Robinson or more Jonathan Hatton. But, I mean, maybe we'll just see Lloyd Avant be the bell cow running back. That would surprise me, but that's what it looked like tonight. I mean, he was your feature back, and he played pretty well. But he wasn't the only Colorado State transfer that stood in this game tonight.
Yeah, no, when you flip over to kind of looking more at the passing part of it, John Mateer, very good in this game. You got the numbers here. 11 to 17, 225, 3 touchdowns. Just thought he was sharp. He was efficient. The highest pass rating he's had in OU uniform, which Brent Venables noted that post game, kind of crazy. I mean, he had some really good moments last year, and you mentioned it. Rocky Beers, one of the stars of this game. You know, he has obviously the great touchdown where he hurdles the guy. He only had 2 catches, but he had another touchdown that was called back with the penalty. The touchdown where he hurdled the guy in the corner, but behind us, was awesome. I mean, one of the highlights of the night for sure, and exciting to see him get in the mix right away.
When was the last time you saw a play like that from a tight end or someone of his size in an Oklahoma uniform? It was a long time. That was a really impressive play. Just as that was happening, I'm thinking, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And he did it, and it ends up in the end zone. So I thought he was really impressive, especially if that other touchdown didn't get called back. We would probably be really pushing the Rocky Beers agenda right here. But he was impressive. I thought Hayden Hansen had some solid moments at tight end. It was nothing flashy from him, very workmanlike, but he had one reception for 15 yards. So I thought he was solid. Trenae Washington, he got in the game a little bit at tight end, but really I think the standout was Rocky Beers.
Yeah, no, I mean, to your point, like the tight ends in this game, they played a lot. I'm very curious whenever we are able to get the snap counts back, and that'll be on Sooners Illustrated. Tom Green always does a great job putting that together after the fact, because it felt like they had 2 or even 3 tight ends on the field every play, basically, throughout this game. And they played a lot of the 2 that you knew, Hansen and Beers, but a lot of Trenae Washington and a lot of Jack Van Dorsler. And so the fact that they had all 4 of those guys out there regularly, and Trenae Washington was almost doing more of some like some H-backy type stuff. Very interesting. And look, we were excited about this tight end room and Jason Witten coming in. And I think that's one of the big position group winners, you know, stock up. And we were excited already with Jason Witten and these guys, but those 4 guys playing the different looks they were able to get and just the multi tight end personnel, very encouraging and just kind of exciting about the potential and the possibilities there at that position going on the rest of the season.
I liked what I saw from them. And you mentioned it was a lot of 2 tight end. I mean, I think very rarely in that first half did we see 3 wide receivers on the field at the same time. It was almost exclusively Isaiah Satania and Terrell Harris. So, yeah, I think the snap counts are going to be incredibly interesting to look at, because really I don't think until the fourth quarter, when they had a lot of the depth guys in, did we see a lot of 3 wide receivers. So maybe that means, you know, you don't have to look as much for who's the 5th wide receiver on this team going to be if you can just have your 4. But it was really encouraging, I thought, with the tight end room, and really specifically Rocky Beers. You kind of mentioned what the potential season he could have on our game preview podcast, but I mean, this game certainly just goes to show what he could potentially be as far as a touchdown threat.
No doubt. What did you think of Mateer just in general? Yeah. I mentioned it a minute ago. I thought he was really pretty sharp, and he had a couple passes he could have had. You're not going to hit every pass, right? I mean, you're going to have balls that just aren't quite where you want them. But for the most part, 11 of 17, didn't turn it over, which is, you know, that's going to be a thing, right? I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. And obviously, the competition is going to get better. But 225 yards, three touchdowns. He only ran the ball three times, which you noted earlier. You know, he had the 48-yarder, obviously, and to Beer, that the long touchdown to Beers. And, you know, we got Trell Harris involved, certainly a lot of Isaiah Satania, who was really good in this game. We talk about more in a second. But I thought John Mateer, pretty sharp. And again, the competition is going to get better. The where we're going to learn more about him is going into Ann Arbor and going into Athens in a couple weeks. But I thought a very encouraging and nice start to the season for Mateer.
No, I was really impressed by what Mateer did tonight. I just thought it was a sound game. He did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
There was never really a moment where I was, oh, why did he do that? That was a horrible throw. Now, he did miss Elijah Thomas. If he gives it to Elijah Thomas on the one, cross him down.
He
saw him late. If he gets it to him there, he's walking into the end zone. So that was really the one play to me where I was like, man, if you put that ball right on him, he's scoring there. But, you know, had the touchdown to Elijah Thomas that got called back, and then the Rocky Beers one also. I thought it was just a sound performance. Mm-hmm. He didn't run a lot, which I like. You know, in a game like UTEP, there's no reason to risk his health going into Ann Arbor next week. So I thought it was impressive. 11 of 17, you know, just a sound performance. That's what you want your QB1 to look like in a game against UTEP.
Yeah, I thought so too. A good start for Mateer. And it helps that, you know, this wide receiver room that we're really excited about, good start. I mean, obviously, Isaiah Satania is a known commodity, and he's still really good. Nothing changed there. Isaiah Satania, five targets, had four catches, 76 yards, and the touchdown, and the 48 yards after catch in this game as well. And, of course, the punt return, which was just electric. And it's funny because we talked about it in the season preview pod with Tom on Tuesday, where we talked about the fact that, you know, it felt like all year last year, Satania was going to get him one. He was going to get him one, and he just never quite got all the way to the end zone. And of course, first crack at it in 2026, and he houses it 88 yards too. Not like a cheapie by any means. No. Isaiah Satania, what a weapon he is. He was awesome. Maybe the player of the game tonight. And then you loop in Trell Harris had a couple catches. Mentioned Elijah Thomas got in the mix. You know, you got Parker Livingston had a catch late. You know, I mean, it feels like Satania, Trell Harris.
That's your duo.
I mean, and you felt it. That was the idea when you brought Trell in to pair him with Satania. And it looked the part, I thought, tonight. And not hard not to be really excited about that duo kind of moving forward.
Yeah, Satania specifically. I mean, the punt return was incredibly impressive. The second kind of see him turning back up the field, I was like, all right, he might do this. And he didn't. He had another one that was a really nice return as well. And then he had the touchdown from Mateer. That was a nice ball and kind of just found his way into the end zone. So really just a sound performance from him. I mean, not a ton of volume, you know, he had four catches, but like it was a very efficient four catches and four targets and two catches.
It's a weird game because, you know, they scored 51 points and Mateer was really good. He only completed 11 passes. I mean, it was 11 for 17. I mean, it wasn't like some big, he threw it around the yard 40 times type of game. It was a very vanilla run the football, just business-like kind of approach offensively. And it was good. It was good. It worked. And I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
And Trell Harris, kind of thinking, where's Trell Harris? He seemed due for a play, and that happened. So I think just, you know, you hear about him coming in, he's going to be a big playmaker. All right, just to see it in the first game, I think it's encouraging. And those two, I mean, they've each other talked about how well they feel like they complement one another. And so you could kind of see that on display tonight. But I thought Elijah Thomas, even though he just had the one reception for 24 yards, I thought it was a really nice reception. And, you know, I think that he's just another weapon you're going to throw in there with that duo. I think you have to feel pretty good about that. We didn't really get the explosive Elijah Thomas play, but he made a play and it felt like, okay, he's going to be a contributor on this team this season. It felt like we can kind of take a deep breath. This isn't just going to be another fall camp flash in the pan.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he played a lot of snaps. It felt like, again, we'll get the official snap count. And he had the nice jump ball in the corner of the end zone, which they didn't count because they blew the play dead. Ben Arbuckle was going to blow a gasket. Yeah, he was so upset. Brett Venables, he came all the way out on the numbers. Brett Venables had to come out and get him. But yeah, a lot to be excited about offensively and with that wide receiver room. The bad thing on offense right now is this: they got to get this offensive line healthy. I think that's a major kind of just storyline, frankly, right now. And look, we talked about it throughout the week, right? I mean, you don't have Jake Mikla, and he's getting closer. He was out here doing some stuff pregame. looking good. So he's getting closer, but they didn't have Michael. Obviously, Ryan Foje gets banged up, so they didn't have him. They go with Noah Best at center, which was kind of interesting. Michael Fasusi doesn't play much beyond the first quarter. You know, they just got to get their guys. They got to get their guys back. And so the offensive line, it wasn't bad in this game, but it was kind of like they need their guys. I think that was a fair takeaway for me moving forward. Like going into Michigan next week, you really would like you have to have Michael Fasusi, and there's no reason to think he won't. Brent Venables didn't really give much of an update post game on Fasusi. Hopefully, just a precautionary thing. We don't even really know what happened. Well, I mean, he just was just not in the game anymore.
Well, I think you look at their tackle depth. If they don't have Ryan Foje available out in Michigan next weekend, you're really thin at tackle.
It was Peyton Joseph.
It's Peyton Joseph because typically you would bounce Foje out there. So I think it was more so, hey, let's just put Fasusi in bubble wrap and let's not risk that at all. It's another injury note. I mean, we have in the chat asking where was Torrey Blaylock. He came out for pregame warmups. He kind of went through stretches a little bit and then he went. Right, and it was clear
he didn't really do anything for warm up. Yeah, so he was in uniform, but yeah.
But I don't think Fasusi. I don't think there's concern there. I think that was a precautionary, put him in bubble wrap sort of deal. But Noah Best, I thought he was solid. Offensive line as a whole, probably a C plus type of game. You know, they rotated a lot of guys. There was a lot of rotations, and Noah Best, he was in there even in the fourth quarter. He probably played a ton of snaps in this game. So, if that's your center going up to Ann Arbor. We'll see, but they do need to get Foje and Michaela back healthy. That's clear.
Yeah, and it does feel like both guys are close, right? I mean, it does. There's a world where they're both available next week. I think that's completely possible. It's just, you know, you need it to happen, and you need to get through this week without any setbacks. Yeah. And, you know, not having Fasusi, it was really – and not that this is breaking any crazy ground here. Michael Fasusi is a potential NFL first-round pick down the road, but – whenever he was out, it was not the same. Very obvious, you know, analysis there. But that is pretty clear, you know, like you said, especially without Foje, like, man, they don't have a lot of tackle options. And so just get some guys back. Get some guys back, and it looks a lot better.
Yeah, if you can have at least just Foje or one of the two, I think you're feeling a lot better going into Michigan because then your top six, you've Hito Zaida as your sixth. I think you feel a lot better about that than Caleb Nita as your sixth because, I mean, this was the opportunity for Caleb Nita to start. Noah Best was working at right guard, and they had to bring him back to center. So I don't think that bodes well for Caleb Nita. Definitely stocked down there. But, yeah, you would certainly – I think you would – feel a lot better going into Michigan if you can just get one of those two back. And it seems like there's a real chance that happens.
For sure. And obviously that's what Oklahoma's hoping for. Appreciate everyone tuned in live. Feel free to jump in the live chat, throw some stuff at us at the end. We'll get to some comments in the live reaction. First time we've ever done the interaction live, by the way. So this is new waters. I think this looks pretty good. We're on the field. It's kind of cool.
We're doing it at 12:30 a.m. Yeah. So it'll be different next week up in Ann Arbor when it's a 4:30 or 5, whatever. Yeah. It'll be different, but we appreciate the people tuning in here at 12:30 in the morning.
Diehards, the sickos. Let's go over to defense. Weird game defensively because they got a shutout, right? I mean, so at the end of the day, you're happy with that. Now, again, UTEP missed three field goals.
Yeah, they're gonna hold tryouts for a kicker in El Paso.
Yeah, and so that helps, right? Obviously, and one of the field goals in the defense of the defense came after the Andy Bass fumble. Yep. So it was on a short field. They did a good job to even force a field goal there.
Well, that one, Dakota Field should have blocked that one. I don't know how he did it. Yeah, I don't know how that field goal didn't get blocked. But, yeah, he missed the field goal, another missed field goal. So,
yeah. But it was just a weird game for the defense because, again, they pitched a shutout. It was good overall. They had, you know, a couple of sacks, three sacks, I think it was, you know, a handful of TFLs. They forced some turnovers, one or two turnovers, right? Because they had the fumble. They had two fumbles.
Taylor won, and then,
couple of fumbles. Like, they forced a couple turnovers. They pitched a shutout. On paper, you kind of look at it and you're like, good, really good from the defense. But if you watched it, it just wasn't buttoned up. The tackling wasn't very good. And Brent Venables said as much. Like, Brent Venables was pretty critical. He even made the comment that the game felt like it was 41-40, was how he felt coming back out of it. And I kind of agree. Like, it's just a reality of the fact that the standards have been raised. Yes. I mean, we're expecting this defense to be one of the best in the country. And it wasn't bad tonight. Again, they pitched a shutout, but it certainly wasn't, I think, what we were expecting. And some things will have to be improved upon, obviously, moving into some bigger games.
Yeah, they gave up 112 rushing yards, but like half of that was on the backup quarterback's 51-yard run down here. So outside of that, it was good run defense. I thought the defense, I mean, it's a shutout, right? They didn't allow any points, but there was really nothing, at least to me. There are a few things, but I didn't feel just overwhelmed by how good the defense was. I still have questions about some of the depth. I mean, just cornerback, they didn't rotate guys in there really at all.
It felt like, and this is where it's really helpful to go back, get the snap counts, especially for you and I. We were both on the field during this game. Right. And so it's hard. Sometimes it doesn't match the way it feels. But during the game, it felt, I even turned to Eddie Radosovich during the game. I was like, it's been Eli Bone and Cortland Gilliard on every snap until the end of the game, obviously.
Tristan Haynes didn't come until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You got
some Jacoby Johnson, but other than
little
that.
A little bit of Jacoby Johnson, but I mean, it seems like, I don't know. That's interesting. I think that's something to follow. But I still have questions about some depth. Reggie Powers was the leader in tackles. I believe he and Owen Heineke both
had seven. I thought Reggie Powers was one of the big bright spots today. I thought he was really great.
Yeah. I thought he was great. I actually made a bold take over on the side. I said I think he'll lead the team in tackles. Who knows if that'll happen, but it did tonight. I thought he was good. He also had a TFL. Taylor Wine, to me, was the best player defensively. He was all over the field in this game. 1.5 tackles for loss, 5 total tackles. I thought he was really impressive. It seemed like all the time coming off the edge, he was involved in the play. Didn't see Danny Okoye tonight.
Yeah, no Danny Okoye. He was just in shorts. Didn't dress out, didn't do anything pregame. Brent Venables made it sound like he'd be back next week, so that's good.
He has a minor injury is the deal with him.
Yeah. Must have been a late week thing. I wasn't really even aware of that, to be totally honest, going in. So, but no, I agree. I thought Reggie Powers was good. Like you said, I don't know when Heineke had 7 tackles, but he did miss a couple that he would tell you probably that he should have. You know, 4 sacks, 10 TFLs as a team. PJ Adebore, I thought, pretty good in this game. Had a sack. In what was his first career start, so that was nice to see.
Dame Bathurst was good. He was solid. He had the TFL. I thought he made some pretty solid plays. Still have some questions. We did see Danny Sayili rotating in defensive tackles. Yeah. I mean, he was in there. It's kind of the same time they started to bring in Tank Carrington. But Bishop Thomas kind of seems to be the third defensive tackle. But a lot of interesting things. I thought Reggie Powers was good. Safety, I do kind of wonder what the snap counts are going to look like there, because I feel like we saw more Amarion Robinson than – I mean, I feel like he's probably pretty close to Michael Boganowski. Boganowski, I think – didn't have the best game he had.
He had the personal foul that Brent didn't throw it out at him by name post game, but Brent Venables, he called it like a selfish play. He was pretty critical about it. And that was, you know, not a great moment there for Boganowski. And, you know, guy, you know, young player still, obviously. And so I don't think any big grand takeaways from that. Other than that, it was just a bad play. He needs to learn from it.
Yep, but I do question what that's going to look like next week up in Ann Arbor. How much will it be Boganowski? How much is that spot, you know, how much is Amarion Robinson really competing there? Markel Ford, I think, had 3 tackles. He came in.
He looks good.
He looks good. Yeah. He looks good. He had one in particular that I thought was just really impressive. So I thought that was noteworthy. Maybe he can be someone for this team as a fourth safety. But outside of that, I mean, Kip Lewis, it was a workmanlike night for him. Not a ton really stood out. I thought Cole Sullivan had some moments. James Nesta came in and made a few plays. Mm-hmm. How about Wyatt Gilmore? That's one player I thought.
He had 1 3 and out. That was all him.
3 and out. He made all 3 tackles. Yeah. That was impressive.
That was awesome.
He didn't really come into the game much before them, I believe. Before that moment, I think Jake Krell was getting some reps.
Jake Krell got some runs.
He had a nice little tackle in the fourth quarter. I'm shocked that didn't become a fumble. The quarterback had the ball up here, and Marcus James almost punched it out. Mm. But I thought he was impressive. I thought Kenny Azuwalu had one play that happened down here behind me that was pretty impressive. But Wyatt Gilmore came in, and he really asserted himself when he came into the game. Oh, there's Wyatt Gilmore. And then you saw it 2 more plays.
Yeah, no, 100%. I thought that was – we thought, had the same thought, like, oh, nice, Wyatt Gilmore's getting some action here, and he made 3 plays in a row, got a 3 and out. That was basically all him. So, yeah, I mean, in summation, defensively, I mean, Cortland Gilliard had a nice PBU on the first drive of the game.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it was a weird game, because the numbers are not bad at all, and you got a shutout, but it just, watching it actually play out, it just wasn't real sharp. You know, it wasn't real buttoned up, like I said earlier. So, we'll see. I mean, and Brent Venables said post-game, and obviously he's going to be very critical of his defense because, again, the bar is very high. But he said the players were in the same boat. It wasn't like any sort of like, whoa, what are you talking about, coach? We got a shutout. Like, they were very willing to kind of say, yeah, we were not as good as we could be tonight. And so I think that's encouraging if you're an OU fan. Like, the defense by no means satisfied with just getting the zero on the board. They know that they didn't play nearly as good as they could. And the fact they still got a shutout. And again, UTEP's not any good, right? I mean, we know that. And the competition is going to get a lot tougher just next week, which we'll talk about in a minute. But defensively, you know, this defense is really good, but it you know, just a little bit of a malaise over them at times in this game.
I still have questions defensively, just really as far as depth. But one comment that I thought was noteworthy from Venable's press conference, he was asked about Danny Sayili and the fact that he was
playing. The fact he actually played in this game and got a tackle is crazy.
And he lost weight from what he was playing at Arkansas last year.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was in the game in the third quarter, I was shocked. I didn't really expect them to play at all. but Venables was asked about him. He said he's remarkably picked up things really fast. His experience has really showed. That's one of the positions we were concerned about with depth. They added two guys. But, hey, maybe these Danny Sayili or Braxton Felly, they can come in and maybe they can actually get on the field a little bit.
Mr. Brad Martin, good question. You know, when can we expect Braxton Felly to play? I don't know. I mean, I would think that they added him to play. He's going to play.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. I think that he is positioned to be the third defensive tackle on the team.
I mean, there was no one tonight that said otherwise. Like, that's going to be your third tackle.
Yeah. And so I it's just a matter of he just got added. Like, how quick can he pick up the defense? And Brent Mel was talking about that being a big part of why Sayili got out there was that he has picked it up really quickly. And keep in mind, he said he picked up really quickly. He's been around a few weeks. Not that's a long time because it's not. But Braxton Felly is getting here now. And so, you know, we'll see what that looks like. I think that by the middle of the season, I think you could expect him to maybe get some run. But it's hard to imagine any sooner than that.
I think like after Texas, the South Carolina, Kentucky, maybe that's when you get him acclimated. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was just interesting that Sayili was out there.
It's crazy. I thought it was kind of crazy. He was even warming up. I was surprised. He actually got in the game.
Yeah. You mentioned that he was out there walking around and I didn't think he was going to dress out and play, but he did.
Yeah.
It's a credit to him that he was able to pick it up that fast. But, Trent Wilson, I thought had a few good moments. Bishop Thomas seems consistent, but none of those guys I didn't think really just went out and took that DT spot. That's another position interested to see who rotates in there a lot next week and who plays a lot. It's still just questions defensively with depth. But I think next week in Ann Arbor, we'll learn more about kind of who those guys are.
Anything else on defense? I thought Cole Sullivan, he only had one tackle, but he had a couple nice moments. He had that almost had that circus Superman interception. Yeah. Didn't quite pull it in, but that was a nice play. LeBron Bauer. Are we losing lights here? LeBron Bauer had a nice tackle in his action he got, which, you know, just a freshman out there getting some of that run at Cheetah. I don't think we got any Jeremiah Newcomb, or did we?
No, Jeremiah Newcomb was not in uniform.
Okay, that's not ideal because you need him at Cheetah.
Yes, and he just cannot get healthy right now. That is another concern for me with this team is that behind Reggie Powers, you're going to have to, if he were to go down, which this is why I think he's the most valuable player on the defense, they would have to put Peyton Bowen or Eli Bowen over to Cheetah. So they are, Cheetah depth is thin. That's why Powers is so valuable to this team, but he played well tonight.
Yeah, and Peyton Bowen almost had an interception over here.
He did force a fumble.
That was just a big hit. I don't know. I have to see a replay to see if he actually got like a hand on the ball or if he just hit him and it popped out. Either way, I mean, you take it, force fumble for sure. So, I mean, again, not bad defensively. It just the bar is high right now for where this defense is because, again, expecting to potentially be one of the best in the country. That's the way that they've talked about. They want to be one of the best in the country. And so they're going to need to be a little more polished moving forward and certainly heading up to Ann Arbor next week. Anything else on this game? I mean, you know, Tate Sandell made a couple of field goals. Liam Evans made his. They only had two punts. They didn't punt the ball at all until very late in the game. You know, they put Whit Neubauer in. He got a rushing touchdown. And then they went to Bo Bentley for – it was just one drive, right? They went three and out, and then that was it, which was weird, I thought.
Did he come back out? Was he in the game when the Andy Bass fumble happened? But it was
I don't know. I think that might have been Neubauer. I think it was literally three plays. He threw one pass, which
he
was almost picked.
One pass, which I thought for a second that was going to be a first pass, first interception.
Yeah, pick six potentially even, which is not great. It was just odd. The way that it was Witt and then Bo had one series and they went back to Witt to finish the game. That was just weird. Not that it means anything. It doesn't really, but it was just an odd deal. But anything else from this game before we look forward?
Not really. I think we kind of summed it up.
Yeah. Well. I mean, look, at the end of the day, right? I mean, they took care of their business. I think that was the best way to put it. They took care of their business. UTEP's not any good. The competition's going to get better. It was very vanilla, both offensively and defensively, which you knew it would be. But 51-0, hey, you're not going to complain about that. You got the shutout. I thought the big takeaway coming out of this game and moving forward as we start to look ahead is that I thought the offense looked legitimately pretty good with John Mateer in there. It looked pretty sharp. They were throwing the ball around. They ran the ball all right. You know, Satania, Terrell Harris looks like an awesome duo. This tight end room certainly looked the part. Still questions with the run game that will reveal themselves, those answers over time. But I think the main thing I'm coming out of this game, walking out of the stadium tonight, of like, hey, this offense might not be bad. It might have a chance to be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, because I thought Mateer was very solid. And then you look at the playmakers, they made plays. Isaiah Satania, Terrell Harris, Rocky Beers, they showed up tonight. Elijah Thomas had some good moments. So yeah. I think you feel confident going up to Michigan next week that you're going to have guys who can go there and make plays for you on offense to go down there and win a football game. Last year, you know, it just felt like, let's try and go get a field goal if it's not going to be Satania. I feel like you have some weapons this year.
You were just trying to survive the games on offense. Yep. Like, you were just trying not to lose the game on offense last year. It should be not quite that way. I mean, you're still going to try and win the game with your defense. That's what Oklahoma's built on. It's how they're going to try and win is with their defense. But the offense should be more of a strength this year as opposed to just, like, trying to cover it up. So next week, going up to Ann Arbor, Oklahoma obviously will be – they've been kind of a slight underdog in that game really the entire offseason. It's really close, though, slight. Also, we haven't seen Michigan yet. They don't play till tomorrow. I'm sure everyone will be tuned in to see what they look like against Western Michigan.
See what Bryce Underwood looks like.
See what Bryce Underwood looks like. It's a whole new coaching staff. Kyle Whittingham takes over, obviously. So just a lot of unknowns with what Michigan is heading up there next week. And also we'll have the whole week to talk about it, and we'll have the game preview later this week and all that good stuff. But, Brody, I guess just – as we spin it forward, we look ahead to Michigan. Was there anything tonight that meaningfully made you feel better or worse, I guess, moving ahead, heading up there on the road next week?
I think it was what we just talked about with the playmakers offensively and just the way Mateer played. And we should mention, I mean, this was UTEP. They're going to be very vanilla. They're not going to show a whole lot. That's going to be different in Ann Arbor. So you should see more Satania, more Trell Harris. I thought those guys were impressive. The biggest one would be the offensive line. I think there's some confidence that defensively, any of those questions that we may have, it'll get figured out. But I wonder health-wise offensive line. It's certainly going to be something to monitor this whole week. And we will have updates on the board. You can sign up 75% off right now for an annual membership that's going to get you all the way through.
We're excited. We're excited to get up there. Brody and I will be up there, Tom Green as well, in Ann Arbor next week. And it's going to be fun to see what this team looks like and obviously stepping into a big test, 110,000 people. It's going to be a maze out up there. It'll be awesome. Hit a few comments here on the way out. Great call by Steve here. 1-0. We're in the Brody Lusk era.
1-0.
We move. Hopefully keep it going. I agree. Jason Fan forever, tight end, wide receiver. I agree. Those are two of the positions that I came away feeling the best about. Absolutely. Even though Elijah Thomas didn't do like a bunch statistically, he looked the part.
He kind of proved it.
And Parker Livingston didn't really get in the mix. He was kind of in and out this week. I'm still feeling pretty good about him. Yeah, I'm not too worried about him just yet. Let's see. I had one other one. I thought I wanted to get up here. Oh, tough schedule, tough team. I agree. I mean, look, the reality too, we saw him on the road last year, and it's a different group, but you know, we know they can do it. And the defense travels, which is a cliche, but I think there's a lot of reasons to still feel good. You know, for me, I have thought all offseason Oklahoma would win that game. Not that it's going to be easy, but I thought Oklahoma was going to win that game. And certainly nothing tonight made me feel worse. I mean, again, the run game, still questions there. Offensive line's got to get healthy, but I thought offensively it was pretty good. And defensively, though, it wasn't as good as it could be. I'm nowhere near worried with the defense. So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot to like. I think a lot to feel good about.
Yeah, we knew going into this game that not all of our questions were going to get answered in the game against 100%. UTEP. It's next week that it's going to get answered. And you know, we'll see what happens, and we'll have the same coverage for you, and we'll be live again after that. So very interested to see what the tone of our live reaction is going to be next week in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, it'll be a much different, much more somber if it doesn't go the right way. Yep. So obviously, but hopefully it does. We'll see what happens. But I think that's it for now. Again, full coverage over on the website, oklahoma.247sports.com. A lot more to come. It's almost, we're pushing 1 a.m. here. So again, shout out to people that are with us live.
Late night.
Late night already is. You can hear from Brent Venables, Ben Arbuckle, and John Mateer on the YouTube channel already. We'll have some more player interviews that Brody got that I'll put on the YouTube here in just a little bit. We get up into the press box and edit this up a little bit for the podcast listeners. Tom Green, I'll be back on Monday for the Monday Review podcast, where we'll have time to let this simmer, rewatch it, go through some stats, get some snap counts, some of those things that we just don't really know, have a good idea of all right now. We'll do that on Monday. Then obviously we'll have the presser, and we'll circle back Brody on Thursday. Game preview ahead of the Michigan game on Friday, and then we'll be in Ann Arbor Saturday for what should be quite a day up there.
I'm excited just to see the maze out, and obviously the capacity of that stadium. Awesome. It's, you know, don't always get to go to Michigan. It's not like a normal SEC road trip, so should be a lot of fun, and excited to see what this team does faced with their first big test. It feels nice that like they're going to go on the road and have a test early, and we'll learn about this team early. So yeah.
One game in the books. Your first instant reaction as soon as Illustrated had a feel.
Feels great. I'm grateful to have, you know, these people watching us talk at 12:50.
We had no idea. It was like, it's almost 1 a.m. I don't know. Are people going to be live?
People
shout out.
We'll go back and listen after. Yeah, but the fact that we have people in here listening at this hour, you know, these are the real fans. So.
Yeah, no doubt. The diehards. Shout out everyone. All right. I think that's it. Let's get out of here. We're pushing 1 a.m. That's it for now. Again, back with Tom Green on the podcast on Monday. Keep up YouTube and on the website, Sooners Illustrated. Loads and loads of coverage and more to come throughout the next couple of days, throughout the weekend. Enjoy the football day tomorrow. We don't get a lot of Saturdays off. I'm going to watch a lot of football tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited.
I am really excited. Today, I was just thinking, like, I do – that's the part of the Friday night I like. We don't typically get to just sit and watch football. You know, granted, there aren't a ton of great games tomorrow, more so Sunday and Monday, but we'll actually get to sit and watch them. So us and all the OU fans, we'll get to enjoy that this week.
A stress-free Saturday tomorrow. So that's it. We'll see you on the Instant Reaction next Saturday, obviously from Ann Arbor. Lot between now and then. But that's it for now. For Brody Lusk, I'm Josh Calloway signing off. We'll see you next time on Sooners Illustrated.
The world crowned its winner. Now, the champions play.
Oh! It's the Champions League!
We're the best players.
It's Haaland!
From the best clubs.
Paris Saint-Germain take the lead!
Collide from September to June.
Brilliant play!
And every match.
An immaculate save!
Is paramount.
This is the moment!
This is the world's best soccer.
They've waited for so long!
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live, exclusively on Paramount+.